Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Apply pressure, and it's good pressure from Albie Morgan all the way back to the goalkeeper. It's slightly wayward as well, and Evans scrambles it away. Support towards Abrahams. Touches wayward as Lever. That's a lovely ball to Chiasimi in the penalty area. Chiasimi, can he score? He can! And Charlton have the lead. It's all about the assist from Lever to poke it through to Chiasimi. Got beyond Bennett, ran in the penalty area with his left foot. Gives Charlton the lead after 56 minutes.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's a good finish for Chiasimi. He had work to do. He had players around him, notably Bennett, who'd been on top of him for most of the game. But he shrugged him off, kept his composure, and drilled it home for the set-up pass in the first place. The strength of Miles Leibman to hold his man off, and then still managed to find the pass inch perfect into Giacimi's path. Good goal for Charlton. Kirk's got Dobson behind and in support. And that is the final whistle. And Charlton have progressed to the third round of the Carabao Cup.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez. And on this week's show, we'll be looking back at that midweek League Cup win up at Walsall. And of course, ahead to Saturday's trip to Adams Park to take on Wycombe Wanderers. Plenty of other things to talk about in the middle of that as well. So joining us to do this, that first up, Mr. Nathan Miller. Nathan, Stevenage in the next round, the tie we were all dreaming of.
Yeah, not bad, mate. Yeah, it's I must admit, deep down, I was hoping for Spurs home or away, but a couple of people made some good points on Twitter. You know, if we do, it's a winnable tie. So, and if we win this, then surely we get one of the big boys. But knowing our luck, Crawley will probably win, or you know, someone else like Morecambe
or MK are going to be through, aren't they? So one of those
we'll get them on a Tuesday.
Yeah, to be fair, if we keep playing League One and League Two sides all the way up to Wembley, I think I could live with that. So there we go. Also joining us on this week's big match preview to discuss those games is Lewis Catt. Hey, Dan Lou, enjoy the game midweek, or the result at least.
Yeah, good result. Good to see us progress. Obviously, was hoping for a little bit more of a glamorous tie in the third round. But last time we did play Stevenage, I think Nathan and I were on commentary, and it was that big 8-0 win. So another a repeat of that would be good.
Yeah, I'd be happy with just half of that. A 4-0 win would be plenty for me to get us into the next round. So we just heard the goals, well, the goal from that game up at the Poundland Bescot Stadium that led us to get in our bloody Poundland draw. We're going to hear from Ben Garner shortly, his thoughts on that game. Also got some transfer chat as well. There's been a couple of stories put out today. We're going to hear from Aaron Henry. We spoke to him up at the Bescot Stadium in midweek. We're also going to look ahead to the women's game on Sunday at the Oakwood. Beth Rowe very kindly had a quick word for us. And then, of course, we will concentrate on the trip to Adams Park. We're going to hear from Phil Catchpole from the Ring of the Blues pod. And once again, from Ben Garner, looking ahead to that game. So, I mean, first things first, we made heavy weather of it on Tuesday night, Nathan. The most important thing is that we got through. But it certainly wasn't the entertaining flowing performance that we saw against QPR in the last round. I mean, become too concerned about that? I mean, we won. That's all that really matters, really. Eight changes, managed to get through. That's the main thing.
Yeah, like you said, you know, hit the nail on the head there, mate. The main thing was being in the hat or the bowl or whatever you want to call it for the next round. And
giant carabao cone.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the main thing. I mean, when you make any game, whether it's cup or league, you make eight changes, you disrupt the rhythm a little bit. You've got some players still coming back to fitness and and it was probably needed and give some people a lot of rest because of the injuries, which we'll come on to later, I'm sure. But yeah, it wasn't glamorous, but in fairness to Walsall and in Stevenage, they both had good starts to the season. So it's never going to be easy. And you know, we beat a team in a league above in the previous round against QPR, so they put on a performance at home to obviously try and knock us out. But like I said, the main thing was to get some minutes, no new injuries, and obviously be in the hat, which was the main thing, and you know, a little goal for DJ, which is a rare occurrence. But yeah, main thing is we're in the draw for the glamorous tie against Stevenage. And yeah, I've emailed Wembley today, see what day the final is, see, make sure I get some time off of work.
You emailed an entire stadium?
Yeah, just emailed them. I don't just, you know, stadium@wembley.com or wherever it is, I don't know. Just do that, you know, and get ready to book my hotels and flights to Portugal or wherever we're going, or Baku.
There we go. Well, when we get into Europe by winning the cup, right? Well, DJ with a goal start the second half. Great work by Miles Leeburn in the middle of the park, and yeah, an end product from DJ. Something we don't actually get enough of, really, Lewis.
Yeah, it's good to see him on the score sheet. Obviously, probably a little bit stop start in terms of his time at Charlton. There's been games where he's looked very good, and there's been other times he's been sort of fairly anonymous. So, obviously, at the moment, struggling to get sort of into the league match day 11 and 18. So obviously he'll be grateful for the minutes on Tuesday. And I think, yeah, it's good to see him on the score sheet and contributing. Obviously he did fairly well at Swindon before we brought him in and came in with quite a good reputation. Probably hasn't quite hit those heights yet. But we have seen plenty of glimpses of quality from DJ since he has been here. I think it's just that consistency he lacks. So yeah, I was happy for him to get on the score sheet on Tuesday. Obviously good as well to see some minutes for some of the other players. Obviously, seeing some of the youth players making appearances as well, like Dickie Chin and Lucan Ness, things like that. It shows sort of the depth that we have in terms of young players, and it's good to see them competing well in competitive games like this. So, yeah, I think all in all, a positive evening on Tuesday. And, yeah, I think we can all be happy with that. And probably first time we've been in the third round for some time. So, yeah, very happy.
Dickie Chin obviously was a standout for me, actually, on Tuesday. And in a position, I guess, where we have been a little bit light this season. So, whereas I'm not entirely sure if he's ready to start making proper first-team league appearances on the regular, it is good for him to come in and get that experience at this level, Nathan, against a men's side, you know, even if it was a League Two team in Walsall, and show that he can sort of hold his own against other senior footballers.
Yeah, 100%. It's a different ball game, really, under-21s and senior football. And yeah, he can't harm his development, similar to Claydon. You know, Claydon played his first senior game at left back. I don't know if he's done many at left back in the coming through the ranks, but you know, you've got to learn somewhere, and you've got to be given your chance. And he was given that, and by all accounts, he gave a good performance, and he can only build on that. I think it was Garner said after the match, he was asking Marshall after the game, you know, how he can improve, and that bodes well, and that's what we want. But yeah, if he keeps going. He keeps working hard and showing Garner he can be trusted and doesn't get overruled by the occasion, then hopefully he can make some more appearances. But yeah, I still think a senior natural left back who could probably play centre half maybe is still needed. But it, you know, games like that, it's not going to hurt him at all, especially we've got teams like Stevenage. If we did get Man City away, I think it would be pretty harsh to shove him in that left back against. Well, I don't even know. Their fourth string will probably be really strong. So, but yeah, no, he can't hurt the boy, and obviously, it's glad that he done well.
One moment of controversy on the stroke of half time. Andy Williams bundled the ball into the net at the near post before it was ruled out for handball. Now, it's hard to say really from where we were. He certainly didn't feel like it was the most wonderful time of the year when the referee gave that decision. I mean, have you had a view on it, Lewis? Do you think we possibly got away with one there?
Probably, yeah. Looking at it, obviously, I only saw the replay on the highlights on the Sky Sports app. But yeah, we may have. You've seen things like that given before, you know, given against us. So yeah, we probably did get away with it ever so slightly. But at the same time, you know, these things do happen, and a lot of the time they do tend to go against us. So seeing something go our way is not the end of the world at all. So you know, overall we probably were the better side. It wasn't quite as glamorous as the performance we put in against QPR by any means. Quite gritty to go up to Walsall and do that on a Tuesday. But I think the most important thing, and all we'll really care about coming out of it, is sounds like we got out of it fairly injury free. We saw some players that are in and around the fringe of the squad play well, and we're through to the next round. So yeah, I think we probably scraped it, I'd say, but positive all in all.
Yeah. So in terms of that draw then, I mean, we were all sat there with bated breath last night watching it, Nath. And I mean, there was a big groan when that tie came out. At least it's not too far north, I guess, this time in terms of Stevenage. But when you consider the likes of the Premier League giants that were in there, a bit disappointing. I mean, does progression in this cup mean a lot? I mean, at some point, we're going to get knocked out. We're very unlikely to get to the semi-finals or the finals. So would you rather be knocked out in the third round by Man City, or would you, you know, rather go through to the fourth round, fifth round, and then be knocked out by a Premier League team? Or, you know, we could still get knocked out by Stevenage as well. For me, I'd like to get that tie with the big boys just in the bag now, obviously, so we can enjoy it and then not have to worry about the cup for the rest of the season.
Yeah, obviously in hindsight, that's what I'd have preferred. just a day out. It's been a while since obviously we played, a really good team. Granted, if we did have City, Spurs, Liverpool, you know, I was going there, and it's a free hit, you know, it's an absolute free hit. On a Tuesday, London would have been nice. So, although, you know, we did get Stevenage, I'm glad it wasn't like a Morecambe away or something to go there on a Tuesday in November. But yeah, I would have preferred just to get a big team. Like you said, we're not going to go and win it. But I mean, if we beat Stevenage, I don't know, we might do. I might have to email the Wembley Stadium again if they haven't replied to me, because they probably won't. But yeah, I'm rather a big team. I'd like to just go to a stadium I ain't been to. Well, I've been to the Spurs Stadium, but I've not seen a game there. But it would be nice.
Have you emailed them before?
Who, Spurs?
Yeah, there's just a Spurs Stadium, just out of interest.
No, I'm just curious if
a stadium's ever emailed you back.
I've walked around the stadium. I've walked around the top of the Spurs Stadium. Unbelievable view that is.
Oh, yeah. But, good.
Yeah, and I've done the tour of the stadium. Yeah, all my mates are Spurs, so unbelievable stadium that is, tell you. Whew.
Yeah. Well, just not very good at sending emails. Right, let's hear what Ben Garner had to say about the win in midweek. Then I spoke to the Addicts boss after, and these were his thoughts on that victory up at Walsall.
Yeah, I'm obviously pleased to get through, and a number of pleasing aspects in there tonight. You know, first 90 minutes of the season for some of the players. And obviously a few of the younger players getting opportunities and doing really well as well. So, pleasing evening. I thought Walsall were excellent. Made it a really, really tough game. Massive credit to them tonight. I thought Finney set them up brilliantly, and it was a tough evening. So to get the minutes we wanted and to get through, really pleased.
We saw in the last round against QPR that the competition is sort of no respecter of league status, and Walsall certainly gave your side a bit of a fright today.
Yeah, and rightly so. That's the way it should be, you know. We stood up to it and had good spells. I thought start the first half really good, start the second half very, very good, and then we showed good character. Young Lucas Ness had cramped for the last 20 minutes and has gritted his teeth and got through it. Didn't need to do that sometimes in his career. So really pleased. Both young fullbacks, Lucas and Richard Chin tonight, were both excellent. So really happy for them. And Walsall were really good. It was a tough evening's work, but we're through to the next round.
Yeah, we were just speaking to Aaron about how this competition does provide a bit of a pathway for the younger players. So the further you go in it, the better it is for the likes of Chin and Ness and Henry.
Yeah, I mean, they've all trained with us regularly since pre-season, and they're chomping at the bit for opportunities. And obviously Aaron, Lucas and Richard took those opportunities tonight and all did really well. They acquitted themselves well against, in my opinion, a really strong League Two side, particularly here. I think they'd be really, really good here. I don't think there'd be many teams this season in League Two that will come here and win games, and that's credit to them.
You're also looking for your fringe players to come in and make an impact, and I guess that's what DJ's done for you with that goal to start the second half.
Yeah, I thought he reacted really well to start the second half, because I thought he could have played better. He's got more than that in the first half, and he responded and got a wonderful goal. I thought Jack Payne got stronger second half, and Jake Forster-Kasich as well, getting through 90 minutes. So credit to those players for how they've trained, how they've looked after themselves to become and impact the game to this evening.
Too many thoughts on who you'd like in the next round. The draw's tomorrow, and then the game itself is until November, so hopefully you have some players back by then as well.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Listen, we probably, like every League 1 and League 2 club, we want as big a draw as possible. We'd love to get a Premier League team, preferably at home, or a London club away. That would be great, but we have to just... accept who we get and look forward to it no matter what.
Pretty hardy bunch who made the way up on Tuesday night. Pretty short notice as well, 360-odd. There was excellent support from them.
Really good. And I think hopefully we showed that at the end, our appreciation. And fantastic to come here on a Tuesday night with a slightly earlier kickoff as well and doing that journey. Credit to every single one.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there, Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yeah!
Oh, it's it! Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Cullen has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero! Here at Wembley! Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just been ticking off that win over Walsall in the League Cup. We heard from Ben Garner shortly before the break there. One thing you can't hear in the interview, obviously because it's a podcast and not a video, and I don't know if anyone has watched the video of the interview, is that about 15 seconds into the interview and there for a solid 4 minutes, a fly landed right in the middle of his head and he didn't notice, and I had to sit there and desperately not try to laugh because it was incredibly funny. And eventually he swatted it away literally about 4 minutes into the interview. So yeah, anyone who's got Charlton TV and can watch the interview on camera, have a little look for that fly and just see if it makes you laugh, because it certainly did make me laugh. Now, one of the things I did ask Ben about during that interview, which wasn't in that clip but is in this clip, is of course the injury to Corey Blackett-Taylor. We knew he went down with that heavy challenge, didn't he, against Cambridge, and was missing after that. And so we were curious as to how he got on with his scan that he'd had on the Monday. And Ben Garner fed to me that actually it was a little bit of good news.
Yeah, Corey's, that was really good news on his scan. It's just bruising to his knee, so there's no structural damage. It won't be long, but we're getting back as quickly as we can. Just literally a case of letting the swelling go down and recover it, and then we're getting back as soon as we can.
So we're looking at weeks rather than like months.
Yeah, days, weeks, not a long one at all.
There we go. So, I mean, excellent news, Lewis, that Corey's not out, because we have started to feel the brunt of this little injury crisis already, haven't we? Like Success and McGrandles are going to be out for a while. Obviously, Chucks is extending. So, as we saw on Saturday, it does just show to highlight where we are still a little bit short in certain areas. So the fact that one of our better players in Corey Blackett-Taylor isn't injured, it felt like we've won the lottery when I heard that news.
Oh yeah, 100%, especially given how important Corey is to the side as well. You know, so creative, so dangerous on the wing as well. I was very happy to see that news, because I did, you know, when he went off, I was quite worried. He did go off fairly sheepishly, he could barely walk. I think he was being helped down the tunnel at that Cambridge game. So, yeah, good news to see that he's going to be sort of fighting fit again. But yeah, as you say, it highlights that we're still we're still slightly short. I mean, on paper, you look at the squad and you think you probably could just about scrape it, but that doesn't take into account the injuries. And sadly, our injury record over the years has been fairly atrocious. And, you know, we've over-reliance on players that maybe haven't played full regular seasons, like Corey. I mean, he came into us last season and sort of played a handful of games and played very well, but hadn't had much football before then. So it will take its toll on some of these players. So I think we do need to strengthen further in the market. I know it's been said that we've got our sort of key areas being a centre half at the moment, but I don't think that's it. I think we need to strengthen further forward. I still think we need a striker, regardless of maybe us it not being top of the list. And yeah, out wide for people like Corey and Charlie Kirk and people like that. As soon as you start getting a couple injured, we are running very short, and then you start becoming over reliant on young players like Miles Lieber and like Dickie Chin, like Charles Claydon. You know, all these players are going to be relied on too early, and we end up blooding them too early, and we've seen that have negative effects before. So we've obviously seen a bit about some outgoings potentially this week, so that might free up some space for some investment in other areas, but that remains to be seen.
The other good news, I mean, Charles Claydon wasn't in the squad at Walsall, but he was just being rested, Ben Garner said, after his excerpts in his last couple of league games he's been involved with now, and played pretty well, particularly against Plymouth last week. Nathan, it just occurred to me, Nathan, that you don't know that we call him Dickie Chin. So you obviously weren't at the Papa John's game at Leyton Orient last season, where he got nicknamed that. But don't you think that's a great nickname? It all started in the Hardy bunch that went to Leyton Orient last season. It's just sort of stuck.
Yeah, I've just the two words together just brings me joy, to be honest. Yeah. But I'd call him Richie. But yeah,
is that an indication? Like, you like those two words? Oh, I'm not even going to dig into when you like those two words together, actually. But yeah, excellent. Right, we should touch on, of course, I mean, the scorer of that goal against Walsall, Richard Corley, has linked him with two other clubs in League One, actually, Milton Keynes, Lincoln City. Potential out for Alex Gilby. I mean, if someone was heavily reporting he was going to Lincoln over the weekend, although that someone has backtracked somewhat now, and Richard's saying that Lincoln are keen on him. But the midfielder wants to stay close to home, so the journo or whoever he is up at that end doesn't seem to have the full story on that one. Also keen to move on Macca and Forster Caskey as well, which is a bit of a surprise. I mean, we know we need outs, Nathan. Start off with DJ. I mean, I was really sort of blowing his trumpet to back end of the season he joined, and then obviously in that pre-season before last year, I thought I wanted him to go and have a good season, but I don't think he has now, and I just wonder if he was to be moved on in order to make room for replacements or improvements to the squad, would you be concerned? I mean, have we got enough movement in that position, enough sort of leeway in that position to move him on?
Well, I don't think Ben would be letting him go unless there's some sort of movement of players coming in, because we're short enough as it is. So if anyone goes out the door, and we don't bring anyone, it makes us even worse off. So, in terms of DJ, would I be upset? I'd be disappointed in for DJ, because, you know, when he joined, you know, I was hoping he'd done well, but he just hasn't really. He's not really had a consistent run of games. Last year, he was playing wing back, and I don't really know what his game is. You know, like, I don't really see him beat players, and I know he's had a couple of assists and goals here and there, but he doesn't get me off my seat, you know. If you look at him and Jez, they're two different players. I know they're two different styles, but
he's slow doesn't do him justice. Like, as in when he's on the ball, he's quite measured and like that. I always remember the game we won up at Sunderland under Nigel Adkins. I remember he played superbly, you know, and he did have the beating of his man, albeit sometimes he cut back in. But, you know, he was unlucky not to set up a goal for Jaden Stockley that day. And that's what I wanted to see a bit more from him, like, involved in taking it beyond the man and getting his crosses in. But his final delivery probably hasn't been good enough since he's been at the club. And, you know, certainly doesn't score many goals. That's why it was a nice surprise when he did get one on Tuesday, Lewis. But again, I mean, is that a player that you're desperate to keep hold of? I guess it does depend on who you replace him with.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you know, I think in terms of if he was to go, I think we have got better options in that area. But I think we shouldn't really be looking at offloading too many people at the moment, because we're talking about strengthening. without taking the likes of DJ and Jake and Gilby out of the equation. So if he is going to go, you'd like to think it will be for a fee, which would hopefully bring in a profit from what we paid for him. I don't know what we paid for him back in January of 2020, but or 21, whatever it was. I think it would need to be good business for the football club, and if we do get it in, I'd like to see it reinvested into the playing squad, and bring in an option in that area that's stronger and will push competition for the likes of Charlie Kirk and the likes of Corey. But at the moment, obviously, we seem to be sort of dealing in the free market. Whether that changes if we get any player sales between now and the end of the window with the likes of DJ or Jake, then maybe we'll see some fees spent. But at the moment, I mean, any outgoings, I wouldn't really welcome any of them unless we were seeing people come in.
Yeah, I mean, would that include Alex Gilby then for you, Lewis? I mean, linked heavily again. That's an area of the pitch, certainly we are overstocked. I mean, Jake Forster-Kaski's name mentioned in there as well, Lewis. Would you be happy to see those two go, if we replace?
I don't think I'd like to lose both. I think I'd be more inclined for Gilby to go than Jake, because I think Jake on his day and when fit is probably one of the best midfielders in League One. But obviously the risk with Jake is his injury record. But I think when he does play, he is more effective than Gilby. I don't think we've seen the best of Alex Gilby in his time here. I think he really struggled initially under Bowyer, and then he was a little bit revitalised under Nigel at the back end of that first season he was here, and then never really got going. We saw like a handful of half-decent performances, but nowhere near enough. And I think Gilby would know that. I think he'd appreciate that it's not really been to the levels we expected. And with Jake, I feel a bit sorry for him, because I think without the injury record, he would have had a very successful career here. And I still think he probably deserves a chance. But at the moment, you know, there's a midfield of Albie Morgan, George Dobson, Scott Fraser, who are playing really well together. So it's very difficult for him to get in. So if I had to lose, I'd rather not lose both. And if we were to lose one, I'd rather it be Gilby. But then Jake does need to show that fight to try and get back in that side. And at the moment, I think the midfield three have performed so well in these opening games, it's proving very difficult. And it would just depend if Jake, now he's fit, wants to go and get regular football somewhere else.
Right, let's have a look at some of the messages that have come in. Addicts Blinder says, how much do you think we will get for DJ Gilby and Jake Forster-Kaski? Who can we realistically bring in to add to the squad? I think we definitely need another striker and centre-back before the transfer window shuts. I mean, you never know sort of values of how much we're going to get for certain players. You never know. It might just be a case of we'll be happy to let them go if we can get them off the wage book in order to move things around now. If I guess those questions will remain unanswered at this moment in time. But in terms of an actual replacement, I mean, there's names that get floated about, but it's hard to suggest who you'd like to bring into the squad, because you don't really know what their availability is and what our budget. I mean, so people have spoken about strikers, people have spoken about Cole Stockton. I mean, he's not necessarily a striker that seems to be getting a lot of attention from big clubs, I'll put it that way. So, I mean, is he one you're desperate for, Nath?
I don't know. It depends how much they're wanting. You know, I mean, if you look at those three, I mean, the only saleable asset you've got there is probably DJ. You know, JFC isn't, Jake isn't going to command a fee, but who's going to pay for someone who's just come back from injury? So I think it's a hard one, really. And in terms of who I'd want, I don't know what our budget is. I don't know, you know, what we've got left. I don't know, you know, who's available. So I'm just going to keep looking at Dickie Cooley's tweets and see if he gives us any sort of light on anything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, Ben Garner certainly made it clear that he doesn't have transfer fees to spend. He said that last week when asked about Harry McCurdy. So I think it will be more about moving money around so that there's wages available for us to go for. Right, Stuart said, it's all about building belief in how we want to play and gaining confidence to play how Ben Garner wants it to be played, talking about that win at Walsall in midweek. We had a message from Reg as well. Says it's going to be taking the good lady wife, Mrs. Reg, to Wickham on Saturday. One complaint from Reg, he says that Wickham are no longer doing programmes. No physical souvenir to add to the pile. What fresh lunacy is this? Apparently paper programmes scrapped last year as Wickham Wanderers make a move to go paper-free. Imagine Mrs. Reg's consternation when I informed her of this. No programme. The fact we'll even have to go pick up our own antics, right? Very funny. But yeah, it is a shame to see a club not doing programmes if that's the case, Lewis.
Yeah, it's part of a tradition, isn't it? I think it'd be interesting to see what program sales were now, but I think for a lot of people, it's a souvenir, isn't it? People have big collections of it. I know I've got a huge box of Charlton programs from when I was younger in my loft. So it's sad to see it, I suppose, but people are going paper free now. So one of those things, I think.
Lovely stuff. Right, we had a couple of emails in the week as well after the Cambridge game. Steve says, evening guys, having watched Charlton so far this season, I'm still not convinced yet that success for this season is on. Of course, it's early days, but did anyone else find Charlton's approach to Saturday's game against Cambridge so laborious? We never know which Charlton are going to turn up. 140-mile round trip made it even more disappointing. I can see the aim and the progress being made, but we still need to sort the back four out as well. It just makes me so nervous. I mean, it's still very early days, and we have seen that 5-1 win against Plymouth, which suggested everything had come together, but we were sort of stopped in our tracks a bit against Cambridge, Nath. It is probably still too early to make a real assessment of where we're going to be, even if I did get slightly carried away after the Plymouth game.
Yeah, I think all of us did, to be fair, mate. But yeah, I mean, I'm not too concerned, Joe. I think the Saturday was a bit of a, obviously it was sad that the contributor obviously put in the miles to get there and wasn't the game that similar to Tuesday. But I think a lot of credit has to go to Cambridge, which I think me and Tel said on Sunday's show. But I just think you're going to have inconsistencies at the moment. I think if you look at last year in terms of our style and where we are now, so early in the season, you can definitely see there's improvement, and I can think you can only get better. You know, they're still building relationship, they're still learning how each other play. So I'm not too concerned yet. My main concern at the moment is the depth at the moment, which we've always touched upon, just in case we do get any more injuries or suspensions, especially around Christmas or whenever.
Right, John Baker also emailed during the week saying, I don't go to football matches just to see the back four pass the ball across the pitch for minutes at a time. It's sheer lazy thinking by the players and no support for the strikers. We need dramatic improvement. I mean, obviously that style that Ben Garner wants to implement will involve a fair bit of passing it around before trying to find those openings. And Ben did say himself that that the fans may have to be quite patient, said that himself after that pre-season game against Swansea. So clearly some more work to win John over at this moment in time. Now, Nathan mentioned depth in the squad. Well, one player who's looking to try and add a bit of that, of course, is Aaron Henry. Scored that spectacular goal against QPR in the League Cup earlier on in the season. And he started the game against Walsall in midweek. And he'll be hoping to try and improve the amount of minutes he gets in the league this season as well. Well, me and Terry spoke to him up at the Poundland Stadium on Tuesday. He said he was pleased to be in the hat for the next round.
Yeah, we all are, to be fair. I think we started the game really well, first 10-15 minutes. We sort of dropped off towards the last end of the first half, so the gaffer said to us at half time that we need to be better, and I think we showcased that in the second half. And DJ, fair play to him, was a great goal, so we're really pleased.
Game you was expecting really from a Walsall side? I mean, we turned over a QPR side, a division above, so you knew it was going to be a tough game when you came in today.
Yeah, 100%. We knew what to expect, like a physical side and things like that, so we knew what to expect, and I think we cope well in the second half especially.
So you just cramping up a little bit at the end, so it was a bit tough out there physically. Are you okay?
Yeah, I feel all right. Just cramping the calf. A bit frustrating really. I wanted to get through 90, but it is what it is at the end of the day.
Chances were going to be few and far between, clear-cut chances in a very fairly scrappy game, has to be said. A couple of free kicks, just on the wrong side for you though.
Yeah, I asked Cass if I could have it, but to be fair, that's more of a left footer, so it was a good effort, so I've got no complaints about that.
But more minutes on the pitch for you, and an opportunity that Ben Garner has given you that you've grabbed.
Yeah, I'm really grateful, obviously. I just want to try and take as many opportunities as I get, so if I keep getting the minutes, hopefully I'll keep playing well.
And any preference on who you might pick up in the next round?
Or just any Premier League team. I'd love to have the chance to play against some of the top players, so hopefully we'll see.
Well, congratulations on tonight.
Thank you very much.
I guess progression in this competition is important for players like yourself, because it means you can get those minutes on the pitch to try and show Ben what you can do in the first team.
Yeah, exactly. Like I just said, I want to try and take every opportunity that I can, so the more games that I've got, the better.
Obviously, the last round you sort of made a name for yourself, but are you looking to try and show enough in these games to show that you can feature more week in, week out in the first team?
Yeah, exactly that. Obviously, these are the type of games where players come in and it's their chance to show that they should be starting in the league. And it's the same for me, so if I want to keep playing well and hopefully get a chance in the league.
So you had your loan spells out last year. Is it this year that you're really hoping that you're going to make a bit of a go of it here at Charlton and get more minutes?
Yeah, definitely. I think I progressed really well on loan last year, so I'm looking at this season as a chance to try and force my way in the team and to be fair, the team's doing really well, so it's going to be tough, but I'm willing to do it.
Is that something that sort of at this stage of your career you set a games target or something in your mind?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, especially off the back of last season, the loan, I want to play as many games as possible. And if I get given opportunities, I'll do my best to try and take them.
It's quite a well stocked midfielder that Charlton have. It's probably the best stocked place we have in the squad. So it is a lot of competition you have to try and get yourself ahead of.
Yeah, definitely. There's some great players in midfield, and it's also really good for me to learn off some real good experienced pros. The likes of Dobbo, can learn off him when I'm watching him. So it's a good position to be in, and hopefully I'll get as many chances as I want.
And have you found working with Ben, obviously, as a coach, he's worked at a lot of big clubs, but he's also, well-renowned, I'd guess, to say, in the game. What have you found that you've learned from him that's different from those you've worked with before?
He's been really good, to be fair. I think all the boys are on the same page with him. He's honest, and he makes it clear what he wants from you. And I think that's when you just want to give it to him and try and do your best. So he's been really good with me. He tells me what I need to do better. He tells me when I do well. So, yeah, I feel like we're in a good, real good position.
There we go, Aaron Henry speaking to myself and Terry after the game on Tuesday. Is he one? Again, I asked him right at the end there about how well stocked that midfield is at the moment, Lewis. So, I mean, is he one you can see making a big impact this season, or certainly getting those minutes that he wants to see?
I'd like to see him, yeah. I think he's definitely the one that I think I've probably earmarked as... We seem to have like a breakthrough one every year, and I know Miles is obviously sort of breaking through already, but I think Aaron Henry, for me, has shown so much quality pre-season and when he's come into games. The QPR goal obviously was absolutely ridiculous. And I think there's always been a lot said about him, like even in the academy games and coming through the age groups. It's a name that sort of stuck out. Obviously very good sort of dead ball delivery, good passer of the ball, scores absolute worldies consistently. And yeah, I think it's somebody I would like to see given a chance to be in and around the first team. And I think that a manager like Ben is going to give youth a chance if they work hard at it. We're seeing the benefits of it with Miles at the moment, and there's no reason why Aaron Henry can't be in that mould. So yeah, I think I definitely don't want to see him leave the club on a loan or anything. I think he should be in and around it. I think he's been very good and he's impressed me when he has played. So yeah, it'd be great if he broke through this season and managed to get some first team minutes for us, and I think he deserves it. I think he's been outstanding so far.
Yeah, Nath, what do you think are like the attributes that he can bring to the side? I mean, is there something he has that someone else in that midfield doesn't really fulfil at this moment in time?
Dead balls is one. I think he fits into Ben's system well in terms of his technicality. I think obviously his physicality attributes need to increase, but he's only going to get that by games. I'd like him to see him around the squad, under the proviso that he's going to get games. If not, I'd rather him get some minutes, like regular minutes. He went out to Wealdstone last year, but I think he needs games. So if he's going to, stay with us and only get 15 sub appearances, that's fine. But I just find that a bit of a waste of a year for him in his development. But if he can get some, get some starts, even if it's 10 starts, it's an improvement. But yeah, I think in terms of the attributes, yeah, technical ability, his composure, and he's always got that eye for a pass as well, which I think sometimes you need if you're trying to unlock defences like we had against Cambridge, where they're quite deep and you need that little bit of nous in the middle of the pitch.
Still only 18 years old as well. He's another one of those players that feels like he's been around for a long time, because he was sort of rushed in. He made his debut in January 2020 in that FA Cup game against West Brom. You'll remember when we had that massive injury crisis when we were in the Championship. So still only 18 years old. Had he even turned 20? He even turned 17, I think, when he made that appearance, which is absolutely remarkable when you think about it. It might have even been 16. So, still plenty of time for him to develop as well. Now, on Sunday, the Charlton women's team are at home to London City Lionesses. It's a 4:30 kickoff at the Oakwood. It's their first home game of the season, fresh off the back of their opening day win down at Southampton last weekend. Now, Beth Ray was kind enough to speak to Andrea at the club just to give us a little bit of a preview of that game with London City Lionesses, and starts off with her reiterating how pleased she was to get that opening day win down at Southampton.
I think it was definitely a good start for us to get off to, with two goals and a clean sheet. Was it our best performance? Probably not, but it's the first game of the season, so to get off to that start is something we can only build on and take the improvements and go forward with it.
And obviously 2,400 there at St Mary's on Saturday, very impressive attendance. What kind of impact do you think the Lioness has had on that and on football in general, and of course trying to emulate high numbers at the Oakwood as well?
I think what the Lionesses and what they've done is incredible. I think you've seen this year with the stadiums how they've sold out. That's unheard of. And I think with that comes the televisation of the women's game and the promotion of it. And I think that is just being driven forwards, and is something that little kids now growing up, they're able to see and be like, oh, I can do that. I can be that person. And I think that's huge. That gives people role models to look for. And seeing the fans at the stadium on the weekend was incredible. For a team that's just come up as well, then kudos to them and what they've done. And hopefully then we can take that and continue growing that and go pushing that forward.
And obviously looking at next weekend's game against, last weekend's game, I should say, sorry, against London City, another tough team coming up against everyone, you know, in this league is a tough test. How do you think the preparation's gone towards that one?
Oh, definitely. We've taken some of the things that we need to work on from the weekend and putting them into practice this week. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a derby. It's a, like, we all love a derby. But of course, we want to get the 3 points. So it's what we're going to focus on. But Lionesses are going to turn up with game plan. And so are we. So we've just got to go in it, believe in what we're going to put on the pitch and yeah, go from there, really.
And kind of what's your message to get Charlton fans down to the Oakwood on Sunday and really back this side?
I think come and be our 12th man. Like, we need that. Like the atmosphere we had against West Ham in pre-season was incredible. Like to see all those fans there, and some of them it was their first time. I mean, get down, like come see what we're about, meet us after the game, and just enjoy it really. It'll be nice for a day out to come watch us.
Lovely stuff. Great to hear from Beth there. Yeah, so the Addicts kicking off their home campaign this Sunday, 4:30 kickoff down at the Oakwood. Make sure you get down there. It should be a good day and a good derby against the London City Lionesses. Lots of new players to bed in for the Addicts, of course. And as we said, a great start down at Southampton. Hopefully something to build upon. So get yourselves down there and support the girls. Right, let's turn our attention to Saturday's trip to Wycombe Wanderers. If you haven't seen their 3 goals that they scored last week at Barnsley, get on Google now and have a look, because they were scoring nothing but worldies last weekend, especially the middle one from Gape, which was from pretty much near the halfway line, a remarkable chip. So have a look at those. But yeah, they haven't had the greatest of starts to the season, but that win against Barnsley has possibly given them a bit of a pickup. Now, I spoke to Phil Catchpole from the Ring and the Blues pod during the week, and asked him, after they reached the playoffs last season, how high are the expectations at Adams Park this year?
Well, high. I think after that season last season, 83 points across the season and just about snaked in the playoffs on the final day. I think most seasons, 83 points probably gets you up automatically. So to get to the final as well and beat a very impressive MK Dons in the semis over 2 legs, and then not really turn up on the final was disappointing, which kind of sounds nuts, you know, with the relative histories of Wycombe Wanderers and Sunderland. We left very dejected and disappointed not to be in the Championship. Our chairman has said he expects automatic promotion, which I think is a very bullish claim in this division. It's a tough league, but it's a settled squad. We've lost a couple. We've lost Stockdale and we lost Anthony Stewart. Akinfenwa, although limited pitch time, was a huge character and a big influence around the place. So there were 3 big departures. And with the window still open, I still think there's business to do at Wycombe Wanderers. But and we've had a pretty slow start as well, which with the short summer, and then we're perhaps a couple of weeks behind the other teams in terms of pre-season because of that playoff final. But we haven't quite got going yet. But that game at Barnsley seems to be a bit of a springboard, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, when Wycombe last went up to the Championship, it was a remarkable story. Like a lot of people saying the smallest club ever to go up to that level. But now that you've had that experience, does that change the mindset of the club that you're not battling above your station anymore? You are sort of where you belong if you can get up there now.
Absolutely. I mean, the big heartbreaking point of the Championship was it was during the COVID season. So a lot of our fans, especially the older fans who were there in the Isthmian League days, who would have seen us going, you know, to places, you know, like Walthamstow Avenue and Dulwich Hamlet and things like that. They missed all those away days to those big old clubs in the Championship. So there's a real kind of like romantic urge to get back so the fans can go and experience it in the flesh. But also when we did go up, we didn't really spend any money. So the TV money and everything else that comes with being in the second tier was kind of put into the infrastructure and sorting out things off the pitch and developing the training ground a bit and starting a development squad and investing in the playing side, which is a sort of a long-term strategy to becoming a what our chairman believes is a sustainable championship club. When he bought the club, he said he wanted to get Wickham into the championship. There was a few wry smiles amongst the fan base. And then about three, 4 months later, we'd done it, which I think was probably ahead of the curve from where the Couigs, who own Wickham, or the majority owners of Wickham, probably had it. But yeah, there we are. But the desire is to get back, definitely. And albeit, I think the large majority of our fan base expects it now. We've probably got the best squad we've ever had in our history. You know, to have someone like Sam Vokes playing up front for us, I think when he signed, a lot of our fans were scratching their heads thinking, how have we managed this? We've got Alfie Mawson back now as well, who, you know, was commanding upwards of £15 million transfer fees. He's had a bad time of injuries, but he's come back in and he's looking great. So I think, like what you guys will probably be saying as well, if we can have a decent run of injuries, keep it injury-free for the majority of the season, then we would expect to be up there.
Now, the managerial merry-go-round is something that frustrates a lot of football supporters. They feel like their bosses never get given a chance. That's not what happens at Adams Park. I mean, how long Gareth Sainsbury has been over 500 games in charge of the chair boys? I mean, it's a remarkable job and he still seems to be as hungry as ever for success.
Yeah, it's over 10 years now that Gaz has been at the helm. So, yeah, the honeymoon period is officially over. I think we can say that now. He's managed this club through thick and thin, largely thin, with no money when we were owned by the fans and it was a very tight budget. And, you know, he was buying goal nets off Amazon to do up the training ground. He was painting the dressing rooms himself with his other coaches. Those days are gone. But now with a bit more budget and a bit more expectation comes with money, it's a different thing for him to get used to. And this is his, I think, his second season now of high expectation management. Normally at Wickham, it would be try and stay in the division and anything above that is a bonus. And now it's top six. That was the expectation last season. He delivered it. I think top six for the fans is probably the expectation this season. And that comes with a lot of pressure because there's, I think, nine teams, including themselves, in this division who've played in the top flight in recent years. So it's a tough division. But Wickham, I think, you know, once they get through this transfer window and get settled down, get some of the bigger players back from injury, I think on paper we've got a really good shot at it.
And I mean, looking ahead to the game at Adams Park, then you did the double over us last season. How do you see this one going? And you know, I mentioned like you scored three absolute worldy goals against Barnsley last week. You must be coming into it with a little bit of confidence now as well.
Yeah, it's been a really tough start to the season. We beat Burton Albion on the opening day of the season, which the previous games has kind of taken a gloss off that somewhat because they don't seem to be at the races yet. And we've had some fairly tough defeats. We had a run of three defeats in the league going into that Barnsley game. And our fan base was kind of having a bit of a minor meltdown about that. But the Barnsley game, I think a lot of us were going into that thinking, well, you know, we'll take a point. That'll be good. And then kind of blew them away, really. Yeah, three wonderful strikes. But I think the clean sheet was just as important as that sort of 45-yard goal from Dominic Gate because we'd let a lot of goals in through mainly through set pieces, which is very un-Wickham-like. And a lot of the opposition fans were saying, you know, we've out-Wickhamed Wickham and sort of quite enjoying that, which we weren't, obviously. We got a new keeper. He made his debut against Barnsley from Scotland, Max Striek. He had a really good game, made a big difference. So, yeah, I think the fact that we kept a shutout and we scored three wonderful goals will give us a bit of a bounce. I think the League Cup tie is a bit of a distraction. We'll play a much-changed team and give some of our younger development players a chance to impress, like they did in the first round. But I imagine it's a fairly settled team going in. We'll be looking at the likes of Sam Vokes, fingers crossed he can pass a fitness test, and Ryan Tafazoli at the back. Two huge players for Wickham, I think, would walk into most League One teams this season. Once they're back, I can see good things happening for Wickham. But against Charlton, you know, we lost to Shrewsbury at home last time out in the league. And that was a disappointing day for Wickham. We got absolutely mugged on that game. Smash and grab, like we used to do many years ago to other teams. So we'll be looking to put that right. But we know Charlton's going to be a tough test. We're expecting a full away end and a really good atmosphere and a good day at Adams Park. Hopefully a great game. And I have to say this, I hope Wickham win.
There you go. Great to speak to Phil. a good friend of the show as well. Lewis, yeah, Wickham, we struggled against them last year. Done the double over us. You know, they got to the playoffs. They're absolutely no mugs with this strange expectation levels around the place now, considering where they've come from over the years. But now they've had that taste of the championship. The fans will want to be getting back up there, especially as they followed it up with another playoff campaign. A great job that Gareth Ainsworth has done there. And again, it'll be another really intriguing one for us, because I found that when we went to Sheffield Wednesday, I didn't really know how we would approach a game against a team that is expected to be up there. And you know, we allowed ourselves to control possession for a long time at Hillsborough. So it'd be interesting to see if we can, again, do that against a Wickham team that will certainly be a bit more physical than, say, the Plymouth team that we, you know, took the wee out of the Valley a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough test. I think it'd be interesting to see how we cope against a side that play pretty much the polar opposite style of football to how Ben Garner does. You know, they've got some very decent players. I remember last season they tore us apart, Adams Park. Gareth McCleary just absolutely killed us. He's obviously a very good player for them. Recruited well in the summer. Got Alfie Mawson in, who's obviously played in the Premier League with Swansea and was at Fulham. And yeah, they're a side that, as you say, their expectation levels are completely shifted. Now they've had that taste of the championship. They are fancied to be up there. You can't help but really like Gareth Ainsworth and his character. So they're quite a popular club to be in and around it. It's going to be a tough test. It's going to be interesting to see how far we've come from last season, because I think that's one of the lowest points last season, going up there and getting torn to pieces by Wickham. But obviously beat Barnsley last weekend 3-0 away from home. You know, Barnsley, a team that have come down as well. You think they'd be someone that would be fancied to be up there as well, and a promotion rival. So yeah, they're looking strong again. We're going to have to be at it and be at the races. But you know, I think we're in a much better place than we were when we played them last season at Adams Park. So yeah, I'm really, really excited to see how we get on and how we cope.
Yeah, it will be a really interesting one. Now, I did ask Ben Garner on Tuesday just to have a quick look ahead to that trip to Adams Park, and the Addicts boss wants to see a repeat of the metal shown at Walsall on Tuesday.
Yeah, I thought we showed that today, second half. We spoke yesterday. It's a good week. We're looking forward to this week. You know, a cup game away from home to get in the third round. Brilliant, we've done that. And now we look ahead to an away game at Wickham. We're looking forward to it. We want to go there and get 3 points. We want to get that first away win on the board as quickly as we can. Hopefully we can do that Saturday.
We saw in arguably one of the better performances of the season up at Sheffield Wednesday that if you can control the ball in the early part of the game as well, that can give you a real foothold in that game.
Yeah, I think that was a really good performance. We could play those two games, Accrington away, Sheffield Wednesday away, in exactly the same way. We do well to take 1 point again. And if we keep that consistency of performance away from home, we will get wins and we will get points. That's what our focus has got to be. And they're in a good place. They're in a good place, the group. Hopefully we can get one or two back in now from injury and strengthen the squad up a little bit more.
It's been a slightly slow start for Wickham. They've got a superb win up at Barnsley the other day. All goals from outside the area as well. So I'm sure you'll be paying attention. But do you expect them to be up there again this year?
Yeah, they're always strong under Gareth. He's done a brilliant job there. And I think it's a great example of what a club can do if you allow a manager time and allow a manager to build a really strong culture at a football club. And he's done that brilliantly. I actually watched them play against Shrewsbury today on the way up on the coach, and they were excellent. And they actually lost 2-1, but they were excellent. They really were in the home game. So it will definitely be a tough game. We're going to have to go there. We know we have to fight. We know we're going to have to battle, but we'll also have to play with a lot of intelligence as well.
Yeah. After the last home game, Nathan, do we need a little, dare I say, a little bit of a pick-me-up? We were a bit frustrated against Cambridge, weren't we? And it's not been a bad start to the season at all, but that was probably the first that I've been to, especially frustrating performance. Like, obviously, the Derby first half was dreadful, but second half we came out and played. You know, we played well at Hillsborough and lost. We battered Plymouth, and then yeah, I was a bit. It was a bit flat Saturday, so we don't really want that to linger around for too long.
No, I think we're still going to have to be patient on Saturday. I think I remember them coming to the Valley last year, and it was probably one of the most frustrating games I've ever watched. In terms of, you know, they were slowing the game down, and to be honest, they're a different ball game because they have so much experience that their game management is unbelievable. It wouldn't surprise me if we have a lot of, you know, the possession. I think they'll let us have it, and then they'll just be more direct. As Lewis has already said, to be more direct, and they'll put it on our toes and probably play the territorial game. But we just need to be patient, keep the ball, and then wait for those chances. I can't see loads of goals in it. But, yeah, Saturday was disappointing, but we're going to get those games. It's not going to be as much as we'd like to have a Plymouth every week, like a performance like that. It's not going to happen. And we've just got to be patient, mate, and be really on our game, because they're a clever side, like a really... I like to think like an old-fashioned side, you know, really clever, really the dark arts and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be a test for them, especially for the younger players. And we just got to keep our, you know, first and foremost, match them physically. Otherwise, we'll get trounced. And then secondly, just be patient and then just keep playing the way that we want to play. And we'll keep getting results, I'm sure of it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of a headache in the defence for Ben Garner. It seems to be between Ryan Innes and Sam Lavelle, who've been switching and chopping and changing the last couple of games. Obviously, Ryan Innes, we know he's not going to play every midweek game as well as on the Saturday. But which way do you see that going this weekend, Lewis? Do you have a preference? Are you ignoring fitness in terms of Lavelle and Innes? Is there one, based on what you've seen so far this season, that you'd prefer to start a game at Walsall? Obviously, Lavelle scored there last year, which shouldn't necessarily come into your thinking, but it's just a point as well.
It's a really difficult one, because I think they both bring something different. Obviously, Ryan's aerial presence can't be ignored. Like, you know, he's a real danger in set pieces and a man mountain, and probably that will be a real strength coming up against a side like Wickham. They're going to play that long, direct football. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Ryan slot back in there. But I didn't think he had his best game against Cambridge, especially second half. I thought he struggled a little bit. Was probably at fault, not solely for the goal, but you know, sort of travelled out with a ball and was dispossessed and ended up, you know, conceding from that run of play. And he had a bit of like a funny sort of 10-15 minutes where he just looked completely at sea. But I think I'd still opt for him, because I think apart from that sort of little spell there, he's been quite impressive this season and playing a style of football and a brand of football that I don't think anyone really thought he'd be capable of doing. So yeah, I mean, for me, It's difficult to toss up between the two, because they're both as good as each other in my eyes, and they both have different strengths and different capabilities. I think Sam's probably a little bit more consistent. But for me, given the football and the style that Wickham play, I think I would probably opt for Ryan Innes this weekend.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Nathan, about that game at the Valley last season, I think McCleary scored in the first half. It's probably quite key that we don't find ourselves behind in this game because of how good they are at the dark arts of seeing games out.
Yeah, they're great at managing games, and that's, you know, I mean, there was it the last two, they, I think they didn't they make the playoffs the last 2 years. Obviously, I think they went up 1 year, but and I think they were bottom of everything in terms of chances created, possession, and but that's they know their style of play. They know what they're good at, and if they do get a lead, it's very very rare that they'll go on to lose a game if they go 1-0 up. So the first goal will be key. Like I say, I think it'll be a 1-0 to either side, or a 1-0 or 0-0. I can't see many goals in it, but yeah, as you say, we've just got to keep our physicality up. I agree with Lewis. I can see Innes starting for that because of the direct balls. I prefer to play Lavelle when we're having more of the ball. But if you're going to have a team getting loads of crosses in the box, I think Ryan's obviously the first choice for me in terms of those type of games. But yeah, we need to be on our, you know, and try not get bullied. I think they're going to target Claydon a lot. And if Cleary does get pull out wide, he's going to have a game on his hand. So, yeah, it's going to be a test, but you're going to get these tests. Not every team are the same, and you're going to get different tactical sort of surprises thrown at you.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, we've come to the end of this week's big match preview. Thanks to those of you who've tuned in. Don't forget, if you want to have your say about the game against Wickham, you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live, or keep an eye out after the game, where hopefully have a couple of roving reporters outside the away end looking to pick up some post-match reaction as well for the fans bar feature. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. Right, thanks to Lewis and to Nathan. Good to speak to you guys as always.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, guys.
I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks very much for listening, and we shall see you again on Sunday. We'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.